Welcome to the Agency of the Month, sponsored by Sprint on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This month's agency, the United States Postal Service.
I'm Julia Ziegler. Our guest today is Anthony Villante, Chief Human Resources Officer at the U.S. Postal Service. Sir, I wanted to start the interview today by talking about the big story for the U.S. Postal Service when it comes to its employees, and that's that USPS has been steadily shrinking the size of its workforce over the last few years. How many employees do you have right now on staff, and where do you want to be optimally?
Well, right now, we have about 530,000 career employees, and we have about 80,000 or so non-career employees. You know, eventually, we believe it's going to be around 400,000 employees. That's dependent on some of the changes that we've outlined going forward in the future. That would be if we were able to have five-day delivery, if we have full consolidation of our postal operations and, you know, some consolidation of retail. So the number 400 is basically where we are today. If we do make these various changes that I just outlined. And then the other piece of it is you try to project forward or in the future the workload that you're going to have. So it's a combination of the initiatives you take to right-size the structure, and then it's a combination of preparing that with what's the workload that you expect to have in the future. So you project that out. That's a simple way to explain how we got to the 400,000.
And how long do you think it will take you to get to that 400,000 number? Or maybe the better question is, how long would you like it to take you to get to that 400,000 level?
I like the first question better, because if the volume and the revenue keeps growing, we may never get to a 400 level. But, you know, you can't count on that. So I think it would take probably about 3 years,
okay,
the end of 15 to 16, if everything was to go as projected.
And why are fewer employees a good thing for the Postal Service right now?
The main driver is the workload. I think you have X amount of work that you have to do in X period of time to meet your service standards. And so that's really the main driver behind the number of employees that you have. You know, you look at employment in the big picture, as you look at the number of people you have, your ability to invest in capital, and then that gives you the workforce that you need. You want to be productive. You want to take advantage of technology. But a lot of what we do is face-to-face and person-to-person and door-to-door. So you need X number of people, whether it's on the counter, whether it's at the door, whether it's out in rural America. So there is a labor component. We're never going to get away from being a labor-intensive organization. But what I would say to you is you have your labor requirement. You also need to have your capital and your productivity requirements. And then you also have to balance all that against the workload. So why we are at the number we are today is a combination of those things. It's the investment you make in technology and that you make through your capital side of the business. And that in a labor-intensive organization, capital will replace labor in certain situations, and then you have your workload, which fluctuates. But unfortunately, we've seen it dropping over a number of years, and that really impacts the workforce.
I think one of the questions that folks might ask, or the question that people might have, is how does the Postal Service make sure that no work falls through the cracks as the workforce continues to shrink?
It's a matter of, you know, it's the day-to-day management. I don't really have a concern about work falling through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is the Postal Service is probably at an all-time high of delivery service to its customers. Our customer satisfaction measurements are all increasing. Our productivity has been solid for the last decade, solid improvements. A lot of things that happen on the workroom floor, just the attention to safety and the attention to, our facilities and whatnot, it's all been getting better. I believe that we have the management team in place, the processes which keep us focused on what's important. Obviously, at the end of the day, it's service to the customers. And the results, obviously, the indicators are what tells you whether you're doing good or bad. I mean, it's a big, if we're at 800,000 people or if we're at 530,000, it's a big organization
Yeah.
throughout all of America. You know, and you have a great focus on the things that I mentioned. And, you know, people are aware of what's important. It's not someone in Washington telling the world what's important. Once you come into the Postal Service, whether you're on the workroom floor or window or out on a delivery route, you know what's important. And our carriers and our clerks and our mail handlers know what's important and know what to focus on.
The Postal Service offered multiple buyouts and early outs this year, and I'm going to try and run through them quick, and you tell me if I'm off.
Okay.
We had just recently in October, you folks offered a $15,000 retirement incentive to full-time career employees under APWU, and I believe that's about 114,000 or so employees that will be eligible. And then in May, two different offers to the 45,000 mail handlers with the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, and then the 21,000 postmasters. Did I get that all right?
Yeah, APW is about 115,000 eligible for retirement.
Right.
Mail handlers are about 18,000 eligible. Postmasters were about 10,000 eligible. That's the eligibility. Here's the beauty of this thing. It changes every day. Every day someone becomes eligible or someone retires out of it. So it's a constantly changing number. So those are the right numbers, you know, approximately. And, you know, what we looked at is we looked at a number of things that were happening. We looked at the postmasters, the mail handlers, and the APW. That was the basic focus because of the changes that are going to happen or are happening right now. Those groups were the affected groups.
Was there a certain reason for $15,000? I think in some instances it was $20,000 buyouts. Is there a certain reason for that specific amount of money for those different groups?
We've negotiated that $15,000 with our bargaining units. We've consulted with our management organizations, and you know it's different levels, different salaries. So the management tend to have a higher salary, so the buyout is a little richer. But we've negotiated that $15,000 with our bargaining. That's how we do it. We're different than the rest of the federal government. We have a collective bargaining process that covers that. So it's been negotiated.
Okay. Some of these, you know, people already had to accept by this point. But do you have any idea of, by the end of the year, how many folks will have accepted those various offers?
We have postmasters. We had 4,200 accepted the offer. And they're that's in process. We had 3,000 mail handlers accept the offer. That's also a finalized process, just waiting for the date. We're in process with the APW. So we expect, you know, very conservative estimate is about 116,000. So,
and hard to tell at this point
how many. It would be 16,000.
16,000. I was going to say, hard to tell at this point how many of those 115,000 perhaps would accept, but you think about 16,000.
Yeah, based on our historical and based on the information that you get from the rest of the federal government, you could make some pretty good estimates. Mm-hmm. Historically, they've been on. So we'd think this would be anywhere from 16 to 20,000. Plus, you have 7,200, so you have anywhere from 23 to 27,000 additional.
Are those the numbers that you folks wanted to see, or would you have liked to see it be higher?
Obviously, it would be easier if it was higher up front. And then you could make a lot of changes. A lot of the changes would be simpler because you wouldn't have to move employees. But we're still able to do what we need to do with these numbers. So these numbers are reasonably good numbers, but it's not the total picture. We're going to have to move some people to where the work moves. So we're satisfied. You know, not that I walk around being satisfied. I'd always like to get a little bit more. I'd like to make it less complicated and easier for our field managers and for our employees. But, you know, I think this helps greatly.
And just to be clear, when you say move employees, you mean move them into either different locations or different jobs where their skills are needed.
Yes, we have in our collective bargaining process, we have a provision which we implement, which allows us to reassign people to other facilities doing the same work or to other crafts doing different work within their own and other facilities. So we have a pretty well-established process where we move people around to where the work is. And, you know, obviously there's a pecking order and guidelines, but it's not something we're unfamiliar with. We've been doing it for my whole career.
At the beginning of the interview, you said you have about 530,000 career employees and about 80,000 non-career. What's the estimated number of where you'll be at the end of 2012?
another 20,000 less, about 5-10. I'm looking at the 16, and then there's categories of employees that will retire that are not included in this.
Right.
You know, another 20 to 25,000 once we go through the APW and some of the smaller units, you'll have some attrition. So you add it up. You know, a rough guesstimate would be about 25,000 less by January.
Okay.
Or through January. January is a big retirement month. So through January, that's when you would have all this attrition.
Can we expect to see any other kind of buyout offers or separations in the near future?
No, right now we have all our plans in place. So we're looking at completing the APW, making the necessary movements for our facility consolidations, for our post plan on our retail and customer service side. So I don't see anything other than to focus on completing, making the transition, and getting our employees in the right place. That's our focus going forward.
And with layoffs or reductions in force, is that something that you folks have talked about? And if so, where would the situation have to be at that would be a route that you would go down?
Well, we do run reductions in force now. The fact that we RIFed very few people is because we have a rigorous RIF avoidance process, meaning we offer voluntary early retirements, we offer incentives, we offer the opportunity of people to move to other jobs and other locations. So we have a pretty rigorous process that we go through because we believe it makes sense to do all these things. When you get voluntary participation versus forced participation, things go a lot smoother. People get choice, which we're fine with people having choices. So if you want to take an early out, you want to retire based on an incentive, you want to go from customer services to mail processing, from mail processing into engineer, we're fine with all making those types of moves, and we facilitate that through what we call it RIF avoidance means is we find places to utilize our employees versus just saying, okay, we're just going to RIF them and, you know, separate them from the service.
I want to talk a little bit more about how employees are handling these early outs and buyouts right after we come back from break. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Anthony Villante, Chief Human Resources Officer at the U.S. Postal Service.
Not having your phone plan with Sprint can be expensive, real expensive. Luckily, if you're a United States Postal Service employee, you can save 25% off select Sprint monthly services. And for a limited time, also receive a $100 service credit per line when you switch to Sprint. Visit Sprint.com/USPS or go to a Sprint retail store in your area and mention that you're an employee, retiree, or contractor of the United States Postal Service. Sprint knows how hard members of the Postal Service work, and that's why they're making it easy for you to switch today and save. Visit Sprint.com/USPS and deliver yourself some savings. That's Sprint.com/USPS. Coverage not available everywhere. Ends 12/31/12. Subject to 2-year agreement, activation and early termination fees and other restrictions. Service credit will be credited within 3 invoices. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Anthony Villante, Chief Human Resources Officer at the U.S. Postal Service. Before the break, Mr. Villante, we were talking about how employees are handling the buyouts and the early out offers that are coming their way. When you make these kinds of cuts to the workforce, people inevitably can be a little bit on edge. And so I'm wondering how the Postal Service is dealing with this. Are you meeting with employees? What are their concerns?
Anytime you change, there's a lot of people perceive it to be unnecessary. I mean, there's an old adage, the only person that likes change is the one who thought of it. You know, you have to overcome that. But the difference here, I think, is our employees on the workroom floor, or whether they're mail processing, delivery, transport, they actually handle the product every day. And over time, you can see the difference. They know when we have a lot of mail and they know when we have a little mail. They know when things are changing by type, where they know that first class is declining at a higher rate than, say, advertising. They know that the stamp on a first class piece is much greater than a stamp on an advertising piece. So, I mean, this is a very aware workforce. They're very close to the nuts and bolts of what makes things happen. The mail, They understand that. So probably in the last, since the early 2000s, based on productivity improvements, based on capital investment, and based on loss of volume, we've been going through a transition within the workforce on the numbers and how much. So one, you know, it's something that they're familiar with because it's going on. Two, I think they can really see the difference. When you lose billions of pieces of mail, it's noticeable. Our employees notice that. And I think three is they're familiar with how things are going to work, how what processes we're going to use. I mean, we've run probably a half a dozen early outs. We've run almost the same amount of incentives. So our employees know the process. They know what's available to them. They also know they have the ability possibly to be reassigned. They can request transfers. And I mean, there's a lot of work. And it's not going to make you happy that, you know, if I work 9 to 5, 4 blocks from where I live, and now I have to work, you know, 3:30 to midnight, 20 miles away. I don't have a fix for that, you know. But the one thing that I'm very comfortable is we always have been able to find jobs for our employees. And in a RIF process, historically, the people that have been RIFed, 99.9% of them made the choice themselves. So there's choice, there's availability, there's options. That doesn't make change more palatable, but it helps people understand the effect on themselves and what their choices are. And, you know, we have smart people. Our people know our business, and they know the flow of mail, the amount of mail. So there's no, I don't believe anybody's surprised that things have changed in the way that it has. And it's, you know, things that we've been doing over a 10-year period or greater.
Like you said, whether or not people know what's happening still doesn't mean that their morale wouldn't be affected by it. So how do you keep spirits up? How do you keep productivity up when all these other things are going on around people?
You know, there's a couple of things which makes the Postal Service different in my mind. One is it's the tradition of pride that people have. I mean, within the Postal Service, we fight with each other, the unions, the management associations, the whoever. Once it's going to, how do I say it, outside the community, there's a great pride in postal employees and what they do for their customers. Probably the best thing that the Postal Service can do to make its case, whether it's in the business community or in Congress or wherever, is to do what we do better. And the way you do that is you focus employees on the service, whether it's the mail delivery service, whether it's customer service. It's the things that we do day to day and keep them focused on that. What you control is what you focus on. You know, you could sit around, steeple your hands and think great thoughts about what should be and what shouldn't be, but that doesn't get you anywhere. There's things that are just out of your control, but serving the customer, doing the right thing as a company with our employees, with our customers, that's what we have to focus on. We can control that. And I think that takes the distraction that's created by this, by these types of transitions, is what you have to be wary of. You don't want to lose your core mission. You don't want your people unfocused. All I can say is it's different, and you have to experience it to understand it, but there's a great pride in what our people, in what they do and how they do it. And I think that helps immensely through these types of transitions and change.
You talked a little bit about it there, but I wanted to ask you, for workers not at retirement age, mm-hmm. or workers who are leaving the Postal Service, if they're not going on to another job at the
right.
Postal Service, does USPS do anything to help them find other jobs? Is there any kind of placement programs or anything like that?
We have in the past, but through our current processes, we have enough jobs. We'll have enough jobs to place people because of the retirement and the attrition. And, you know, quite frankly, job search in this economy is a little bit tough. It's not something we wouldn't look at, but, you know, you got to fix your own problems. In the past, when the economy's booming, there's plenty of jobs. It's a great alternative. You know, you go through a lot of effort. I don't know what kind of return you would get today on a lot of people, but you know, we're looking at handling it ourselves through reassignments and through these other things.
We have to take a short break. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Anthony Villante, Chief Human Resources Officer at the U.S. Postal Service.
Not having your phone plan with Sprint can be expensive, real expensive. Luckily, if you're a United States Postal Service employee, you can save 25% off select Sprint monthly services. And for a limited time, also receive a $100 service credit per line when you switch to Sprint. Visit Sprint.com/USPS or go to a Sprint retail store in your area and mention that you're an employee, retiree, or contractor of the United States Postal Service. Sprint knows how hard members of the Postal Service work, and that's why they're making it easy for you to switch today and save. Visit Sprint.com/USPS and deliver yourself some savings. That's Sprint.com/USPS. Coverage not available everywhere. Ends 12/31/12. Subject to 2-year agreement, activation and early termination fees and other restrictions. Service credit will be credited within 3 invoices. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Anthony Villante, Chief Human Resources Officer at the U.S. Postal Service. Wanted to start this last segment here by asking you, we know the Postal Service is consolidating, but where is the Postal Service hiring and for what positions? Where are the job opportunities for folks who might want to be employed by the Postal Service?
We have negotiated and are in the process of going through our collective bargaining with our other unions. We've negotiated with the APW. We're going through our processes with the other unions. We have opportunities for people to come in the what we call the non-career area, which it's like an entry-level position in some of the crafts. They have a path to career. So this allows us to bring someone in at a certain point, and they would be with us. And then when an opportunity happens in the future, they would have the opportunity to get a career position. So we look at that in a number of our crafts to do that. So we're always hiring. We expect to probably be hiring more in the future of these types of jobs on the bargaining unit side. On the management side, you know, we're always looking at the skilled positions in management. We have a healthy intern program, which is, we believe is, it's a great offering. We've compared it to the private sector, and we try to do all the different things that the private sector does to bring some talent in. So in our skilled functional areas, our engineering, HR, supply chain, finance, communications, government relations, some of the things that are just different than the processing and delivering mail. We're always looking at finding ways to get talent in those specialty areas, whether it's internal or external. You know, we are looking at that. So it's not a tremendous amount of hiring because we don't have a large numbers of people working there, but there's always opportunities in those types of jobs. And then on the bargaining unit side, it's entry into the what we call the non-career. So that's going to continue. Have with the rural carriers, the letter carriers, the APW, they all have career paths, so to speak. So that's how we're, right now, that's what we're hiring. Once we get our stability through this transition, it'd be more, we would be back to more of a business as usual. But until that happens, you know, you're not going to hire a new career until you place all the existing careers. So you augment that with the non-career positions.
So what skills does a USPS employee need in 2012? And maybe how is it different than someone you may have hired 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
10 or 20 years ago, well, let's say 20 years ago, it was a different type of hiring. You were looking for very specific skills like memorization, arithmetic ability, you know, various, very technical. Today, you're looking for someone who can demonstrate that they're collaborative, someone that can demonstrate they work with a team, someone that's customer awareness, customer responsible. You're looking for things more related to the overall purpose of the Postal Service versus very specific things that are done in a particular job. And we've evolved from testing for very specific jobs way back when you would hire 100,000 of this or 50,000 of that to do a certain task. Today, it's more about looking at an employee that can do can do many tasks, but can do it in a collaborative way, work as part of a team, and be very customer focused. That, I'd say, is the simple way of the differences between what we do today and what we've done in the past.
Obviously, the workforce restructuring going on at the Postal Service is a huge responsibility, right, for you, for other managers within, mm-hmm, the Postal Service. Aside from that, right, what are your other top priorities right now as the person responsible for 500,000 plus employees?
Well, I think in a large labor-intensive organization, what's important to me is I keep my eye on the total labor cost. You know, we have to deal with our legacy costs. We have to deal with our ongoing costs. And, you know, once again, it's a matter of making it reasonable, not eliminating it. But you have to look at the marketplace and see if your costs are reasonable in the marketplace. If they're not, you have to adjust them accordingly. I think one of my most important tasks this past year and going forward into the future is leadership, talent, and development. We have a lot of people in higher level positions that are closer to the end of their career than they are the beginning of their career. And not that any particular person is going to leave, but you want a strong bench. You want people ready to step up. You want people with a background of not just the functional area, not a technical expertise, but an overall general management and organizational understanding. So myself and the leadership team, we are planning for our succession in the future. We spend a lot of time and, you know, I have a good succession planning, talent development team, and we're working hard. That's really important to us. As I said before, focusing the organization is important. So when I say that, that's a lot of that is done through communications, but a lot of focusing an organization means you got to take away the distraction. You've got to be able to address problems. You got to communicate with people. They have to understand what's important. They have to understand what role they play in the importance. What's the outcome? And, you know, I think you can do that by taking away distractions, by the communications with employees, by getting the feedback from the employees and responding to it. You know, you need to listen and you need to respond to it. Communications meaning you're talking to someone and you're listening to someone. And I think that's really important. And that's what, you know, we're focusing on. We're trying to just get better in our management disciplines, our day-to-day. You don't need to create some new innovative thing that doesn't work. You know, there's a tendency, a lot of people always like the bright, shiny things. But you need to make sure that the disciplines are in place in your organization so you don't have problems, you don't become unproductive. Once you got a strong foundation going forward, then the innovation could happen. You can't sacrifice the operating discipline and the discipline on various, you know, things that we do day to day for some new thing. My experience is we've done it a number of times, and what happens is the foundation kind of falls apart. You might have a great second story, but the first floor in the basement just caved in. So you have to focus on create a discipline, and then you can make improvements for there. So we're very focused. Trying to keep it simple is really important. We don't need to complicate things. We don't need to confuse things. Keep it simple. Focus on what's important. Focus on the customer, and that's kind of our message.
You talked there about listening to people. I'm wondering, what is the thing that they're telling you the most?
How do I say? There's a lot of feedback where people are telling us, we understand what's going on. We understand the need to do certain things. We need to do it. And I could appreciate that because if you're the one that's subject to change. You know, once you understand it, once you accept it, you want it to happen. So a lot of feedback is we need these things to happen. You know, we're not going to argue. We're not going to disagree. It won't get us anywhere. We understand the volume changes. We understand the capacity changes. We understand, you know, the various things in the other functional areas. We need to make the changes. Now, some of that's not in our control. You know, that kind of distracts people, or people just don't understand. They buy in, they understand, but all of a sudden you're delayed or whatever. So there's a lot of feedback is, you know, we understand, let's do it. Let's not just talk about it.
From an HR perspective, where do you see the U.S. Postal Service at the end of this year, in 1 year, 5 years, 20 years?
Well, I'm very, very upbeat. My glass is always half full. It's not half empty. The Postal Service in general, I think we have a great future in e-commerce. Our people are just doing extraordinary efforts getting into that environment. Our package growth in the last year is double digit. And we have a lot of people that are getting excited about it, and they're becoming innovative and creative, and they're looking for different ways to do things. Much more focus on the customer. I'm really excited about our marketing approach, our new chief marketing officer, our sales and pricing people. I mean, they're really going after it. It's different, but it's promising. I can't sit here today and say we're going to have 850,000 people sorting 215 billion pieces of mail. But I can sit here today saying that, you know, a workforce of 400,000 or so, or 450,000, whatever, is going to work in a profitable, growing organization in the future. There's going to be change on how we do things and what we do, but there's a demand in the marketplace. And right now, it's critical, you know, that we engage, that we get involved in this, and that all the barriers and roadblocks come down and we're able to do the things and make the changes we need to make to get into the game so and be competitive with everyone else. We're in a great position. We have a lot of great attributes. You know, like I said, I'm very excited about it, and I see a lot of good things happening. Just crossing my fingers, there's no roadblocks or barriers get in the way. But, you know, I think as HR, as part of that, has to, and you know, our goal is to work with these groups and make them as effective as possible, is to take down the roadblocks and the barriers to just facilitate the type of change. We're responsible for a lot of that. That's necessary to make these changes, not just in management. It's in all our employees, and I think our employees see it. And the beauty of, once again, it's the pride of what I call the pride of the Postal Service. They're going to get excited about making some of these things. They want to win. They want to do it. They want to do it. They believe they do it the best, and you know, it's a healthy competition.
Any final words for postal employees before we finish up today?
Well, I'd like to thank them all for the great job that they do every day delivering mail. I'd like to thank them all for the patience that they have, you know, with the overall Postal Service and the processes that we're going through and the transition and just the situation as it is. I think people have great patience. They understand. I'd like to thank for the pride that they have in the business and the outcomes that everyone's a part of, whether, you know, they're handing the mail to a customer, they're in the back room, whether they're, you know, in an administrative job. It's a great team all pushing in the same direction, and I think we'll have a bright future.
Our thanks to Anthony Villante, Chief Human Resources Officer at the U.S. Postal Service, for being this week's guest on Agency of the Month. I'm Julia Ziegler.
You've been listening to Agency of the Month, sponsored by Sprint on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This month's agency is the United States Postal Service. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency of the Month. Agency of the Month, Wednesday mornings at 11 AM, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and federalnewsradio.com.